Well, let's get started. And I'll start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you that we can study your word. Thank you that we do have your word. Just lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit as we study your word, and help us to be more like you. Amen. Well, the next 4 weeks, we're going to do a word study, and you Hebrew and Greek scholars will be deeply disappointed because we're not doing any Hebrew or Greek. I'll leave that to you people that have been to Bible school. I'm just a heavy equipment mechanic that's prodded by the Holy Spirit to teach God's word. So we'll see what we get. Some of the words are fruit of the Spirit, but all are traits that we should be growing in Christ's likeness. We tend, when we pray, make us more Christ-like, but do we ever pray or hear people pray, make me more gentle, make me to have more self-control, make me be more generous, or the big one, make me more patient? Let's look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:16 through 25. Galatians 5:16 through 25. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. So, walk by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit can only be done when we live by what I call the Christian basics. Number one is prayer. Number two is confession of sin. Number three, bathing your soul in God's Word. And number four is fellowship with other believers. And this Sunday, we're going to look at the biggie, patience. Today's society, today we want it now. Everything nowadays is instant. Next day, same day, 24/7. Instant messaging, texting, email, instant news, instant coffee, quick oats, fast food, express lube, express shuttle, express check-in, express checkout, express lane, quick drying, glue, paint, garments, quick fix, quick connectors, instant savings, quick money, and last but not least, Amazon Prime. Are we not a society struggling to wait patiently for something? What would our world be like if we had patient lube, the patient lane, patient money, and patient coffee? Are we, as Christians, quick to pray for our ailments and stresses, slow to pray for Christ-likeness and character? Let's look at some verses on patience. Romans 8, 22 through 25. Romans 8, 22 through 25. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as saints, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. That's pretty amazing, waiting eagerly. That denotes patience, but eagerness at the same time. That's quite a picture. It's kind of like waiting for dad to come home, or mom, or your husband to come home, waiting eagerly with perseverance. And I looked up perseverance in the Old English Dictionary, and it says steadfastness, constancy, the fact, process, condition, or quality of persevering, constant persistence in a course of action, purpose, or state, steadfast pursuit of an aim, tenacious endeavoring. Steadfast pursuit of waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons. What a picture of patience that is. Now let's look at a couple more scriptures. This one's on perseverance, Romans 15, 4 through 6. Just a couple pages forward. Romans 15, 4 through 6. For whatever was written earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of scriptures we might have hope. Now may God, who gives perseverance and encouragement, grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it says in there twice, talks about perseverance, just endeavoring to keep on. Let's look at another one. Is Colossians 1, 9 through 12. Colossians 1, 9 through 12. Colossians 1, 9 through 12. For this reason, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness, patience, joyously giving thanks to God, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. You know, when we're taught, learning is part of learning is patience. We don't all get something all at the same time. And notice in there it says, joyously patience. That's pretty amazing. Patience and joyously. Pretty amazing thing to have joy in our patience. It's very important for that. And then another one is 1 Timothy 6, 11 to 15. 1 Timothy 6, 11 to 15. 1 Timothy 6, 11 through 15. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith and take hold of the eternal life which you were called, and you made good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which He will bring about at the proper time. He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Did you notice there, waiting patiently, and did you notice at the proper time? It's not when we want it, it's at God's proper time. And only God knows that time. And so, and then let's look at another one. This is in Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. That's quite a picture of patience. Because we all, when we get impatient, we tend to get angry. And it's really important to rule over our spirit. And that can only be done by God's grace and leaning on him. So let's look at, I thought this was a really good story of patience. Let's look at Matthew 18. And notice in the story as we read how we can demand patience for ourselves, but not give it to others. And so this is kind of the picture in the story I want you to understand from that. Matthew 18, 21 to 35. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, one owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything.' And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, 'Pay back what you owe.' So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you.' But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what he was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. And when summoning him, his Lord said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have also had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?' And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." So it's quite a picture of forgiveness and a picture of patience. We demand patience for ourselves, but sometimes we don't give it to others. It's quite a picture there. Are we patient in our areas of chosen testing, such as hobbies or work, but not patience with others, such as in driving, when we're driving, like being cut off, someone pulling out in front of you, or nobody using a turn signal, or somebody not merging on the freeway paying attention? So we can choose to be patient in certain areas, but we need to be patient in all areas of life. Let's look at another picture in the Bible of Christ's picture of patience in 1 Peter 2:21 through 25. 1 Peter 2:21 through 25. "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. And while suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. So we see there Christ left us an example of patience. And we see that in him going to the cross and finishing what he was called to do on the cross for us. Notice all the action in those verses, and notice Christ's confidence in leaving us an example. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, "Learn from me, for my yoke, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Learning involves patience, steady moving up and to the right, as John Zimmer says, in our spiritual growth. So, you know, we tend to look at things sometimes and we don't quite get a whole picture. I'm not very musically talented, and so when I see somebody that's an amazing musician, I think, wow, that's really good. I wish I could play like that, like a violinist, like you hear Vivaldi or something. Boy, I wish I could play like that. But do we think of all the training and time and patience it took to get to that quality of training? Or an Olympic athlete, all the training they had to do started out probably from when they were young. The years of training to get to that skill level, all the events they had to attain, and staying up late, getting up early to train, training after everybody's gone to get to that skill level. It's patience of training takes a long time and a lot of work. And so it's important in our life to develop patience. And we get tested in many areas. Some of you ladies, I don't know what areas of patience are, but with women so much. But I know one area that guys, I can relate, plumbing teaches us patience. You know, there's no 5-minute plumbing job. And it always seems like whenever something breaks, you think you got everything at the store and there's one more fitting that doesn't line up or work right, so you got to run down there 2 more times. And, you know, plumbing teaches you patience. But I don't know, everybody's got different things that teach you patience. And it's really important as Christians to learn that. So now let's do table time, and on the back of your sheet, let's look at a story in the Bible that portrays patience. It doesn't have to have the word in it, but it should show an example of patience or an example of patience learned. And be ready at your table to discuss why you chose your example. So you can go anywhere. Anybody, any story of in the Bible, and we'll come back in about 10-15 minutes and talk about our stories. Okay? Well, let's get back together, and some of the tables share some of your stories that you chose, or multiple. I heard much talking and many stories. So, Jim, how about you guys? What'd you guys come up with?
The first one, probably the most discussion, was Ruth's patience with Naomi and Boaz.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's good. Ed?
You know, we had several examples, but I think the one stands out in my mind is of Noah and building the ark.
Uh-huh.
120 years he preached the gospel and no one responded.
Yeah.
But he was patient in continuing to preach year after year after year.
Yeah. Can any of you imagine a building project for 100 years or more?
Yes.
I mean, that alone in itself is pretty amazing. Anyway, John, how about you?
Yeah, the first one's mentioned is Abraham, a child at 90. I mean, many things in his life, even the faith it took to head out from the Ur of the Chaldees and go to a place that he didn't know where he was going.
Yeah.
Many, many, many things in his life manifest God's work in him and giving him patience.
Yeah, good example. John?
We thought of Joseph.
Oh, okay.
And the way God ordained his life and ordered his events and with much things that look like the end, like we're done, and how God, through his patience, brought him to a position of ruling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ray, how about your table?
Well, they've already talked about all of
it. Okay. We also have the prodigal son.
Who?
The prodigal son story.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Can't wait for the son to come back. Didn't know the timing on that or anything. So.
Yeah. Okay.
And I also like Esther. Yeah. Esther had very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was mentioned at our table, too. Yeah, so that's quite an amazing story of patience. You know, the saving of the Jews, anyway. Bob or Ron, whoever's heading your table there?
Yeah, there are several things. Someone mentioned Hannah and Samuel.
Okay.
We brought up the Moses a few different times in the wilderness, being patient and long-suffering with the Israelites. So,
okay. Mike, would you want? Oh, Ron, do you want to add something?
You know how we always say, you know, that person has the patience of Job. When you read Job, I think patience. I think all that stuff that was happening to him makes me wonder. He just hung in there. He had a lot of patience.
Mm-hmm. Mike. Share.
Yeah, several, but the one that a couple of us thought of was Simeon.
Okay.
And his patience waiting for the Savior.
Yeah, very good. So we see lots of examples of patience all through Scripture if we just kind of get out and look. And so it's really important as we read to, you know, if you're reading to develop a character, look at what you're trying to develop in others in God's Word, and we have a lot of examples. Have you ever noticed, too, that the Lord is faithful to always put at least one person in your life that you always have to work hard to get along with? I mean, I'm serious. It's whether it's at work or family or relatives or friends or whatever. You know, there's always one person that it just... You got to work to get along with that person. And it's like in Romans chapter 12 says, as much as possible, live at peace with all men. You know, so it's really important to do that. Patience, some closing thoughts and steps to victory, I thought. Prayer, aligning our heart with God's on patience. 2, bathing your soul on God's word, not talking about a quick shower here, but meditating deeply on the Word of God and pondering on it. 3, remember your patience might be the only shining light of Christ people might see. ponder whose timetable you're on, God's or yours. Remember, you are His. Reflect on what lesson God has called you to learn at this moment. And 6, remember God is patient with you. And 7, remember Christ is waiting patiently for him to be able to return. And let's look at 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Got to get to 2 Timothy, not First Timothy, Second Timothy 4:7-8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. And I kind of turned that into a question of myself, verse 7. Have I fought the good fight? Have I finished the course? And have I kept the faith? In verse 8, we see a picture of patiently waiting for our reward. And so why don't we're going to close a little early. Why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, teach us about patience, to be patiently waiting for your return, growing in faith and Christ-likeness and in patience and eager for your appearing. Just help us to be shining lights that we would give an answer for the hope that lies within us. Thank you for this time in your word, and we go about the day living for you and having your Holy Spirit guide our lives. And we thank you so. Amen.